committee room. But you are most welcome again. You are familiar. We have been here for some time. Members have read your annual plan. They are ready actually to ask questions. But all what you can do, I'll hand it over for you for the introduction and so on. If you want just to highlight something for 15 minutes or so, but you have more time to respond to the question once they've read the presentation, actually, and so on. You don't have to take them through. You can speak much when they take you page by page of your annual report. So, over to you, Theo, and CFO.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and committee members. Before we start, I'd like to just extend the apologies of our chairman, Mr. Chimaponya, who is unfortunately stuck in Ghana, and the deputy chairman, Mr. Hepin Chingila, is unfortunately out with pneumonia. We had one of our Board of Trustees, Mr. Isaiah Kupu, is scheduled to be here with us. I must say I'm not sure what happened. He was held up, he had to drop off his son, and so I'm not sure where he is at the moment, so I think we should rather proceed.
Oh, if he picks up, it's fine. If he does not, let's proceed.
In terms of your opening remarks, Chairperson, you said that we could probably highlight the key issues. I think from Brand South Africa's point of view, I think we probably highlight or point to the highlights in terms of our performance, where we have pointed out areas of which we believe were significant achievement. And also pointed out that there were about, I think, in terms of the performance and the deliverables, about 23% which were not achieved. And this was largely because of the fact that we had to go through a process of having the new positioning and the new marketing slogan for the country approved. And that was done, in fact, at the end of the financial year in March. So those activities which were then not implemented would have been in respect of or would have been related to the payoff line. And then I think the other issue which we should highlight is obviously the in terms of the audit where we are that we received an unqualified audit report with some matters that were highlighted, which I think we will also be happy to address. I think there were several issues around the unauthorized expenditure, which is reported as such, but it relates really to us having had to wait for Treasury to respond to our request for retention of a surplus, as is allowed in terms of Treasury regulations. And not having received a response after repeated requests, we obviously invoked Section 54, which says if you don't hear after 30 days, but however, in discussions with the auditors, this matter came up as something that they felt needed to be recorded as such. There was the other matter, which is a procurement issue, which I think the CFO will also speak to, which really relates to the fact that as a small organization, we really never ran a supply chain management unit, and the need for this has been realized, and the board has duly approved that we establish one and that we appoint an SCM manager. The other areas in terms of performance results, we have touched on the fact that we achieved 76% of all the deliverables that we needed to, which is 54 out of 71 of the targets that we had set ourselves. I've explained the fact that some of those were largely due to the payoff line. The matter of our human resources. I think it's an issue that has been raised, and when we came and reported earlier, there was the issue of our staff complement, and the fact that at the time when we reported, we had not met, you know, our objectives of somebody with disability. And I think that's an area where again we fall flat and are found wanting again this time, and it's something that we probably need to obtain some assistance. And having listened into the post office in terms of the assistance that you know, the Honourable Drohe might afford us, I think we may have to look at that, at that possibility. I believe those are some of the points that we would have highlighted through our presentation. I think it's proper that we perhaps take questions as we go through the annual report. Thank you.
Thank you. Honourable Singh? Oh, I thought they look at the hand, but they can see. Honourable Bandarimeva, Honourable Stein? Yes. Honourable Sheen. Oh, okay. Honourable Bandarimeva?
Chairperson, on the annual report, I find these the report here on the performance of the board members on page 11, 12 and 13, I find it quite confusing, firstly. But secondly, then going to the names, for example, I noted Miss Ramasela Makgole only attended 2 out of 5 meetings, Miss Libby Lloyd only attended 2 out of 5 meetings, Mr. Alan Wind attended 0 meetings, then Mr. A.J. Gupta attended 0 meetings, Mr. Thlabo Mahlonga 2 out of 4, Ms. Victoria Malloy 2 out of 4. And I just wanted to get clarity, because I think you can go on and there's many of these people have either attended 0, 1 or around there. And I just wanted to get clarity on that, on the activities of the board members. And then with regards to the Auditor General's findings, I think when I was at the Women's Committee, the Auditor General's office made a, you know, very apt remark to say that when people overexpend but still they don't meet their targets, it's very concerning. And I wanted to make that point. And secondly, with regards to the expenditure management, I wanted to know what steps will be taken against those who contravene the Public Finance Management Act, because Chapter 10 of the PMFA is very clear with regards to disciplinary acts and procedures that can be instituted. Also, I wanted to ask with regards to the supply chain management, do you have a LOGOS system which Treasury gives, the LOGOS system, the Treasury LOGOS supply chain management system, or are you still planning to introduce that? Thank you.
Stein?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm just wondering, a lot of the targets that haven't been met is the excuse is that it's due to the new marketing slogan. That leads me to believe that when you set the targets on initially, that this new marketing slogan wasn't part of your targets for that particular year, and it's something that came about that had an effect on obviously your targets. Now, looking back on this, was it then wise to introduce something that would almost disrupt the process, disrupt your operations to a large extent, and just go ahead with it at the cost of all the other targets that you had? So that's a general comment. Let me now go to, and I'm going to give you page numbers. I've only got about 4 here, maybe 5. I can't count. Page 38. Is it 38? I'm talking about vacant posts. I'm surprised that one of the vacant posts that you've got is communications, if it is still vacant. I mean, a lot of your work in terms of branding South Africa should be, I would imagine, is communications. And yet your communications manager is a vacant post. And then similarly, I would have thought that one of our targets as a country is to do a lot more north-south trade. And yet Africa and then the Middle East, which is also the south-south trade, is vacant, as well as Asia, your regional managers there. Surely those are priority areas for South Africa. And one want to then look at filling that so that we can market the country there and obviously brand it. Page 45, your wasteful expenditure. It's the one issue that the post office got away with because of limited time in terms of their answer. Now, one of the things that is mentioned here is there are two things. One of them is a contract for photocopiers, I think it is. That didn't work. And therefore there's some wasteful expenditure there. Now, you know, I don't understand. Surely we enter into contracts. And therefore, if you've entered into a contract and the photocopier doesn't work the way it should be working, there's absolutely no reason why you should pay for the contract and then go and buy other photocopier machines. I don't understand that. And it's pretty much with the, like I said, with the post office earlier where they've negotiated a rental, they're about to move in and then it gets quadrupled. Aren't there proper contracts in place that give you and give us some sort of security as well? And then similarly, the other big thing in terms of wasteful expenditure was some event that was going to take place in the Northern Cape, I think it is. I'm not talking without looking at my notes here. That you paid for the venue, and then there were too few participants. And it was, I think, I can't remember, was it 40-odd thousand rand? Or was it million? But nevertheless, there's an amount. If it was 40 or 50, it's still, I mean, one could probably have just about built a RDP house for that money. Now, how do we get ourselves into a situation like that? Where something is planned, you then pay for the venue, and then for some or other reason, there's not enough participants. If you could just tell me what happened, then I'm a bit concerned about the deficit of 28 million rand. Particularly in light of the fact that you haven't reached all your targets. My colleague, the Honourable Van der Merwe, touched on that. And second lastly, internal controls, page 46. The audit committee did not evaluate the effectiveness of the internal auditors during the year under review. And furthermore, the Auditor General of South Africa found some weaknesses in the internal controls. Now, this seems to be a perpetual problem in every state-owned entity. And I honestly don't know why. I mean, it's for organizations that's been in existence for 5, 10, some of them 15 years, to still experience this type of thing. I mean, it's one of the first things I would imagine that certainly any private business would try and get sorted out. So if you could touch on that, then very lastly, on page 62, and I hope I'm reading this wrong, but it would appear that a director that's working for you is also earning consultancy fees, which is, you know, in fact probably more than his salary. He's got a consultancy fee, and I'm referring to the bottom one on page 62. There are two, there, consultant fees for probably communication and one for marketing of 1.1 million. Now, how? Explain this to me. We either have a consultant or we've got an employee. We can't actually have both. Or one person being both an employee and he's doing private consulting work for us. And the other one, the remuneration of director, I see he's also got consultant fees there. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I was concerned that your fruitless and wasteless expenditure amounted to over a million, but I see that much of that has been carried forward from the previous year. But even that added up from what and maybe I'm looking at it wrongly, but on this page it comes to 209,000, and yet it's, so I'm looking at page 72 and 71. I'm not a financial person, so I might just be totally misunderstanding these. Okay, so I also see that there's a regular expenditure underneath that of 10 million. So I'm not quite sure how all these figures add up. So if you can explain to the financially literate how that works, I would appreciate it. I see there was also football tickets the World Cup ticket. So that all adds up. So that all gets included in this year's figures, which was rather startling. I was also interested to see that the basic salaries seem to have been halved. The CFO this year earns 430,000, last year 823,000 as a sort of basic salary. Why is that? Is that because it's now split up into all these other costs? Why has it been done that way? And it's happened with all of the three main people listed there. It just if the provision was in the other bracket, in the other category of how you evaluated the salaries, I don't understand why it's so different. Maybe it's for tax reasons. Then I was concerned that there didn't seem to be much buy-in from many of the stakeholders. In your targets that were missed, there were lots of and I think it was in your generation of money. I've got stakeholder funding here, I think. Yes, you wanted to raise 6.4 million from joint funding for Brand South Africa events, and you only got in 1 million. And other sponsorships, you wanted to get in 10 million, and you got 5.5 roughly. So one wonders if there is sufficient buy-in from the people you're supposed to be working with, if they actually understand what Brand South Africa is. And if so, what are the challenges there, and what are you going to be doing about them in the coming year? Because obviously you need to get the buy-in of government and corporate South Africa, particularly, I should think, to come in with a common brand. That might have been to do with the delay in your slogan, that there wasn't anybody buying in. But yeah, if we could have some explanation on that. Otherwise, I've been covered with the others. Thank you.
Chairperson, thank you. Chair, just first on the issue of revenue and partnership income, a concern, obviously, there's a lower revenue, page 61 I'm referring to at present, and also the other income has also declined significantly, but I note that our basic salary staff costs are sort of on a steep incline, and that clearly is unsustainable. So going forward, what are the plans to actually contain that and to remain within budget so that you don't run into a deficit? I mean, you were able to carry over from last year, but it is a serious problem this year. Secondly, I understand that it is not a major sort of a state-owned entity, but unfortunately, it's like any business, whether it's a small business or a big business. Unless you have the basics in place, it is not going to work. More so in the public sector, because you're working mostly from public money. Now, notwithstanding the fact that you did not get a qualification, I don't think the report from the Auditor General is actually not a matter that should make you worry. I think you should worry about this. It is unacceptable. It refers to expenditure management, which is not effective. Procurement and contract management, now that is huge. I mean, if you don't have the systems in place, if you don't have, if you cannot manage your contracts and make sure that you are complying with Treasury regulations as far as bidding is concerned, etc., then it's totally unacceptable. Internal controls, and then there's a note about the leadership that did not exercise adequate oversight responsibility.
regarding compliance with laws and regulations. Now, that should make you sit up straight. I think it is important that you get the basics right. If brand SA wants to in fact protect the brand of South Africa, they must make sure that they also protect their own brand. Because unless you are absolutely squeaky clean as a body, you will not be able to convince anybody of the brand of South Africa. So I really believe that charity begins at home. Please clean up your house before you start promoting South Africa. You should start making sure that all the systems are in place. Chairperson, and then some of the other members have covered my questions, but I just have a concern with regards corporate governance, and ultimately that is where it goes back to, as we've seen with some of the other state-owned entities as well. If there's a problem with certain committees, and if there's lack of participation and there's lack of continuity in the board and its subcommittees, etc., that's where the problem starts. I have a concern, and I share the concern of Honourable Fanamarva. Now, if you look at the pages 11 through to 13, without referring to specific individuals, although I will have to just make the statement about the Audit and Risk Committee, it seems to me that that committee had about a membership of 7 members, but on occasion for quite a number of meetings, in attendance had been only 3 members. If we look at the first line, 18 May, from then it seems that we are really having a serious challenge as far as that is concerned. Then I want to say that, which is the matter that I've mentioned with some of the other state-owned entities as well, I note that it is a board member that is also chairing this Audit and Risk Committee. Please just take up the matter with the Auditor General of South Africa, just to make sure, because you see, I think all state-owned entities will benefit from an external person who is operating at an arm's length to chair the Audit and Risk Committee. That could really benefit the institution. So it is an external person reporting to the board and not one of the board members. We have found in some of the other entities where there were problems and challenges. We've really found that is one of the serious problems, that it seems to be that because board members are very often, by virtue of the fact that they are non-executive members, they're not always available and they cannot really take that leadership. So please make sure that you make every effort as far as that is concerned to get those things back in place. And it is important that you instill confidence in the institution. And you should start right there to get the systems in place, to get the corporate governance to work, and then you are free to market South Africa. By the way, just in passing, I've also noted that on your structure, it's not only your communications person that was vacant, but also the support staff in that position that was vacant. I forgot now. Honourable Stan, can you remind me where's the page? 38. PR officer. That's also been vacant. For how long was that? And I mean, that is also a critical one. The last point that I wanted to mention, Chairperson, is that's where this issue of stakeholder meetings was concerned. I think it's on page 45, fruitless and wasteful and irregular expenditure, risk management. It is in the report by the Chairman of the Board. Paragraph 8. It's very disconcerting that we have, on the one hand, wasteful expenditure, that relates to a contract for the provision of photocopiers. That's what Honourable Stan has referred to. It is an old contract, doesn't matter, but then the cancellation of stakeholders' summits in the Northern Cape and Western Cape Rand South Africa incurred to an amount of 12 million rand. Is that possible? Of irregular expenditure which relates to non-compliance with laws and regulations relating to supply chain management. Now, that makes you sit up straight. And really we need an explanation on that. Seems to me, again, what is worrying is that the financial management is weak, but that quarterly management reports, Honourable Chair, on that same page 45, quarterly management reports were submitted to the GCIS and the Presidency before funds were transferred to Rand South Africa. Now, I don't know how the GCIS and the Presidency could release next further amounts if it was clear that they were running sort of an operation that there were serious weaknesses in. And I think this is a matter, although it is no longer there, I think we must just take it up with relevant authorities that when monies are released, transfers are released on a quarterly basis, we must make sure that those quarterly reports are really fully scrutinized before and the next amount is released. That would prevent deficits of that nature. So I think there's some work to be done there. Please, if we can have an explanation on that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Drogen.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. But let me look at the organogram. 11 positions are vacant. So I can say that you can start there by appointing people with disabilities. But before I even say that, I want to first ask if your building, your offices are accessible for people with disabilities. The main reason for people with disabilities resigning from government employment because of buildings not being accessible. You can start here with your organogram and filling those positions with people with disabilities. And then to come back to my main question, on page 77, what stands out for me has been in the newspapers a lot. On point 4, the improvement of media reputation. And it states that one of the reasons is because of the high risk of rhino poaching and the increase of that. So I want to know, are Rand South Africa working with the Department Environment Affairs, and because they're responsible for this, are you working with them to decrease this problem? Just a question. And then also, because of this media reputation, then also linked to the slide on the PowerPoint presentation on page 15, only 50% of the international investors in South Africa, and we only have 40% of and respondents are not familiar with South Africa. And then half of the respondents have never done business in South Africa. And is that also then because of our media reputation? Because of the media being very critical about South Africa, do you think then that will then have an effect on, because of this, has an effect on our investors, and then also how can we improve? Thank you.
Yes, Tom?
Chair, I'm not going to go to specific pages because my colleagues have done that. But there are two things that I would like to know and have a sense of comfort. I think I'd like to use this one now as a new member.
This is the only institution which have come before the committee with agenda balance.
But even and this is the only committee that came here without any board members. Only apology for the chair and one member, but it doesn't matter. But let me just deal with that, Chair. I think in future it will assist us because some of the issues that have been raised by our honourable members are more of an oversight role that questions the ability and the time, undivided attention to assist Brand SAA in terms of doing its work as it may. So I'm raising that, Chair, and I'm sure it's moving forward. When we conclude by next week, then we'll make a very strong recommendation on those areas. That includes other various issues like your audit committee, audit chair, and internal and external. That's one. Two, Chair, noting that in terms of personnel, filling of vacancies were a little bit slow for whatever good reason that would be given. What relationship do we have with other spheres of government? Because they also do go and have, like in particular local government, they've got sister relations with other countries and all that in terms of, it's more sisters, on this one it becomes a sister. I'm sure in African states it will be brothers. What role then do we have? Because I see Brand SA as one of, it can ride on that arrangement. And two, linked to that, which means the local government is A and B, is the relationship and the cooperation that we have with our embassy offices internationally to augment the shortage of staff, which also will save costs in terms of not physically us, all of us going to these international conferences and events and all those and fundraising dinner and media conferences and so forth and so forth. I just would like to know that. But also the very last one, which is my third point, Chair, will be how do we structure our remuneration as it may, starting from the top to all that. Is it total to cost at a certain level and what happens underneath? Because sometimes we will find a person that is earning a reasonable, because we all think that everybody should earn peanuts, but we also want to get the good results. But also then management tends to hide everything and benefit, which doesn't become part of the remuneration, it's separate and all that. That would be my take, Chair. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Just three things. I think firstly it's nice to see a small delegation appearing before us. And as a comment I'd want to make, that all the other entities that have come before us have come with, in fact, post office was here early on. The entire side there was filled by post office. Hardly any of them spoke. So I think it's welcome that I hope this was on purpose and deliberate to save costs. And if it wasn't, I'm still pleased that there's so few of you here, because I think it's money well spent. Just a comment on that. But Chair, just two quick questions. On page 62 and 63, in terms of remuneration, I don't know if these questions have been asked, but there's two directors that have received remuneration for consultant fees. Has it been asked? Great, I'm covered. Sorry? Great, super, I'm covered then. Then just the last question would be on page 72, around the regular expenditure. It basically tells us where there's no action taken, etc. And there's three amounts there, three areas where there's no action taken, but they're considerable amounts. Why is that? Can we get some information about, can we get an explanation about that? Those would be my questions there really around that. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. CEO?
some context and then be able to respond to some of those questions. The issue which impacts largely on our reports this year actually has its origins in actions which were taken by both the board and management in trying to ensure that there is proper governance. You will recall that, Chair, we did have to dismiss our CFO previously as a consequence of a number of matters that were presented here, one of which relates to the onerous contract which now comes up as a wasteful expenditure. That matter dragged on for quite some time, and for some time we could not appoint anyone in that position, so we had a junior person acting as the CFO until we resolved that we would have to appoint a new CFO, and should the CCMA case go against us, we would have to deal with it at that time. So some of the lapses, because if you look at our previous year in terms of our performance, we had some challenges, and some of these are reflected this year. So those are vestiges of these issues that stemmed up. Secondly, you will also recall that we had to dismiss a head of marketing and communications. We had to dismiss a stakeholder relations director. So there are three people at senior level that were not there for a certain period. And in some of those cases, just like the marketing director, we could not appoint because there was a CCMA matter, you know, hanging over our heads, which we spent almost the better part of the year attending to. Those matters have been put behind us now. So I think the challenges you see are part of the board and part of management really trying to address these issues. And yes, indeed, in the process, there have been some lapses in the two areas of procurement as well as human resources. The CFO will explain some of these things that present themselves as over expenditure and not management of expenditure, which is really how it is reported. However, you have to look at the causes of that. As I explained earlier, it relates to the issue of the retention of surplus, which, despite our repeated attempts to get responses from Treasury, which we never got. So I think it's important to present that, and I really take on board the comments that are made by members that we need to ensure that there are proper systems in place. And this is indeed what we're dealing with in terms of our previous CFO. So some of the issues you are seeing here are vestiges, remainders of that. There is the issue of the World Cup tickets and et cetera, which is one of those things that the previous CFO was dismissed for, amongst other issues. So in seeking to address a whole range of issues, we created a gap in the institution that in some ways also led to these lapses in these particular areas. But we will speak to the specifics of the lapses themselves. If I go to the specific questions, let me speak to the CFO. Will cover some of those. I have covered the first issue is around the issue of the payoff line and the fact that some of our deliverables were not met because we had to wait for a marketing slogan. Yes, if you recall again, I will have to take you to history that the matter of approving a slogan has been 2 years in the making. And indeed, that is why we had surpluses that we had to request for retention, to retain. Because you cannot launch a marketing communications program without having the right positioning and without having necessarily the marketing slogan. There are certain things you can do, but you can't, for example, or we felt it's not prudent to go and put out messaging, television commercials, when you don't even have a payoff line. We had to get all the agencies that market South Africa to all rally behind the new slogan and the new payoff line. And indeed, you will see that right now, whether you're looking at tourism, you're looking at trade and investment, they all use the same logo with the same line, which was approved in March by Cabinet. So those activities that are affected by that would need to be deferred. And therefore, the retention that we applied for would then be, for an example, to say we are going to launch the new campaign once we have a new line. And those are the activities that would have been deferred. So yes, indeed, in the planning, we knew that, but we did not, we would not know when would the process of approval be finalized. But we had targets to say it needs to be within this financial year. But the process of arriving at consensus is a stakeholder-based one. So we have to consult all the stakeholders in the country who are going to use this line to market the country internationally. So we finished that process in year one. We could not come out with a new line. We continued for the next 8 months in this past financial year and only got approval. So a lot of the deferred activities are related directly to the tools you need for your marketing and communications campaigns. So I hope that explains the issues of the slogan. There are dependencies in terms of whether you can go and market with or without a slogan or not. The issue of vacant posts, I think I will address at the same time as I seek to address, especially at senior level, the issues that were raised about executive directors receiving remuneration. That is not the case. The issue here is when we dismissed our marketing, if you look at those costs, they come in under strategic marketing communications. When that manager or director was dismissed, we had a gap in the organization. So we appointed someone at a temporary basis, as I said, as a consultant, because we could not appoint while we were dealing with the CCMA case. So it relates to the remuneration in respect of that contract person, not the director whose role was now being, we're plugging the gap because that person had been dismissed and we're having a CCMA case going on. So some of the vacancies or the issues that arise, they would be related to that issue. Indeed, the issue of a communications manager is one of the positions that were vacant as at the end of the financial year. And indeed, we were in the process of recruiting and appointing a person there. And I believe that is a critical, as you rightly said, honourable member, element of the job we do. And it was very important that we ensure that we get the right person, because the person who was there, we had to come to an arrangement that they would need to leave because of challenges with their delivery. And we were quite clear that we are going to have to get somebody who is really very good in doing this job. The issue of the vacancy relating to Africa and the Middle East is yet another one of those areas where scarce resources resulted in us not having somebody there for quite some time, and we actually had to go back to the board to say that the requirement we had attached to that role, that the person needs to speak French as well as Portuguese, along with English, because the aim was that the person would service both Francophone, Lusophone Africa, as well as the Middle East. When we tried to get somebody with all those languages, it proved to be quite a challenge. So we went back to the board and we explained the challenges we were facing. And the board said, then let's do an analysis and agree on which languages would be critical based on the markets that are important for us, and rather go back and advertise the position now with only one language, so English plus the other. So if the person had English plus French or English plus French and Arabic, then we should take that person and not try and insist that they should have all those languages, plus other skills. So that's what really happened, Chair and Honourable Members. The issue of the wasteful expenditure which relates to, I think, the Northern Cape. BRAC South Africa is an organization that works with and through stakeholders. That has been the mandate that we've been given, that we need to work with and through stakeholders. So when we arrange these stakeholder workshops in the provinces, we work with the agencies in the province themselves. And in this instance, indeed, we had, there were plans and we were assured that the workshop was ready to be conducted. And we then requested, as a normal matter, of course, to see who are the attendees. Are they the right caliber of attendees? Are they the right numbers and everything else? And when we were presented, we found that it was not going to work. And we raised questions and said, but you have not covered the following stakeholders. And as a result, the province then said, well, we cannot proceed with the workshop. We would need to go back, give us time. And given that they had already presented this at a very late stage, we said, indeed, we could not proceed. Because there is no point in us then proceeding, and yet the people who were going a futile exercise. And so they then cancelled the workshop on that basis, and so we get that expense. And as I say, the challenge is that all the workshops we do them like that with all the provinces, and we have not had challenges other than in the two cases. In the instance of the Western Cape, it was really a matter of not being able to get even, or we were advised based on what we presented to us that we are not able to get these stakeholders, and yet we have been assured that the date and time has been set and everybody else will be there. So it's a dependency again on our stakeholders, which we have decided we would need to work differently with around that. I have referred to the issue of the photocopier, the issue of the contract with ITEC. We do have, we do manage contracts properly. In fact, we have, the board has requested that we prove this since the matter of the previous CFO. The matter of this contract was a contract that was entered into by the previous CFO that we had to fire. And after pursuing the matter for some time, when I joined the organization, we sought legal advice. The legal advisors looked at the contract we had entered into, and they said, well, this contract, you are not going to be able to find the recourse that you seek, because you should have established the facts around this. And that is why this was one of the issues that was raised against our previous CFO. And subsequent to that, we have significantly improved on the contract management, but how also we use our legal advisors to ensure that they vet the contract. In this case, it is my understanding that the CFO did not pass it through legal advisors to check. He signed it off on himself. Do you want to cover the matter of the deficit and others? Then I'll come back and cover the other issues.
Honourable Chair and honourable members, thank you for this opportunity. If I can touch on page 62, which is it's talking about the director's emoluments. That is reflective of the movements in the staff at leadership level. The salary of the CFO appears to be halved, but it's not really halved because the CFO started mid-year and there was an acting CFO that was there already. And if you look at the total at the bottom, when you compare the 2 years, you find that they are almost on par. The other one is, now I've lost my own page 62. Previous year, the CFO, the total cost to company, which is the total cost to company now that I mention it, and it's total cost to company for all levels of employee, not just the top executive, but even the cleaner. It was 950, and this year it's 934,000. And like my CEO has already said, when we looked at, again, the remuneration of the marketing and communications, in there, the consultancy fees is not for that particular incumbent in that position. It was for a person who was acting in that position as a consultant. Maybe next time we will rephrase and not say consultancy fee and say remuneration paid to a consultant. And then it will be much clearer. Now, that on its own is indicative that management at that level wasn't continuous. It has been staggering throughout the year, and that is a root cause of most of the things that have been happening. The knowledge and transference of skills and the practices of SCM was just not going on correctly. Thus, we have all those supply chain management findings that look very adverse there. There are actually, they make you sleep up at night and say, what are we going to do? Honourable Chair, Honourable Member, yes, disciplinary action has been taken. Unfortunately, I'm one of those who has received a love letter within 6 months from my CEO as a first warning going forward, and that has actually prompted me then to become stronger and try and not even try. I have been implementing processes and procedures in place by requesting the CEO and the board to approve that we have a supply chain management unit, which is also evident in the organogram.
The CEO is the one next to you.
My CEO.
Who gave you the warning?
My CEO.
Oh,
and the board. If you could also, you've noticed that in the organogram we don't have a supply chain management unit, but in the years coming,
we will have a supply chain management unit, and we've identified three positions. One senior position is the manager, the other one is a supply chain practitioner, and the other one is the administrator. Because of the skills that are required, we need also to have such in place. Unfortunately, we don't have a supply chain management system. We don't have Logos, but we're using Pastel, and Pastel does have advanced procurement system, which we intend implementing in this quarter, in quarter three. So by the end of the year, we will be up and running, definitely. We have introduced manual interventions in signing, but it's difficult then to track, because then you lose the number somewhere and you can't reconcile. But when it's automated, everything comes up easier on the screen. And that also then somehow resulted in the irregular expenditure in itself, because procurement wasn't centralized. You'd have procurement done by so-and-so, and it comes and say, this is what we're doing, and there wasn't a proper oversight on that. Now, it appears very strong in the audit report, but if you look at issues of tax clearance certificate, it doesn't necessarily mean that tax clearance certificates are not there. Some of the tax clearance certificates that we managed to get on board were copies. But, you know, it's unacceptable to Auditor General. You need original valid copies. But then something was done in the process. We just didn't just leave it as that. And currently I'm backing on a process to make sure that we have, and we've written letters to the registered service providers currently and saying within a period of 2 weeks, if you haven't submitted your original tax clearance certificate, you will be deregistered from our database, and we will then terminate operating or business with you. Okay? And then the other thing is which results in irregular expenditure, of course. And I think the biggest one is that we had all the procurement data above 30,000 where we didn't apply preferential points in adequate capacity. But that doesn't mean that we didn't receive quotations. We did receive quotations from a pool of registered service providers whom, to our knowledge, we know that they meet the BEE requirements, which fell between 1 and 4. So for us, we inherently say, yes, they are there, and now we only look at the price. Unfortunately, we have to have all the evidence and proof that you've looked at the BEE level, apply the preferential, yes, and sign off that you are awarding to this and this. But then it's just that portion. Now we're doing it, you know, even though we're doing it manually, but it's right there at the back of our mind. So that's the bulk of it. As to whether our CFO is going to take further disciplinary action towards that, that's another issue, because those expenses, when they were incurred, they were not incurred in a fruitless manner. They were incurred to execute the activities that are within the approved business plan. If those were outside the business plan, that it would have been fruitless exercise. We shouldn't have done that at all. Then I would expect him to take us to a SAPS. But unfortunately, yeah, he can comment further on that. And then we have a deficit of about 24 million that is shown in our income statement. It is in accounting language, and in your eyes, it looks like a deficit. It is not a deficit per se. What happened is we have been accumulating surplus funds from previous years, and we have had commitments that have been audited by Auditor General as valid and that are within the approved business plan. What we did is we deferred them to the outer years, and we then carried out the activities, and by doing so, we then incurred expenditure. Now, our income statement only shows the income that you receive in the current year. So there is no comparison to the expenditure that we've incurred compared to what is appearing in the balance sheet. You cannot compare. So you have to look at it in totality, look at what we have and what the bank balance was. So it's not a deficit. We just spend the accumulated surplus going forward. Yes, the accumulated surplus then, because we didn't receive the approval from National Treasury for the retention of the surplus, then those expenditure were then classified as unauthorized expenditure for the year under review. And we then told Auditor General, but there's Section 54 in PFMA, which then states that if you didn't receive an approval in writing, it is then not even just an approval, a response, whether it be it's an approval or rejection. If you haven't received it within 30 days, then it is implied that the retention is approved. And it has been going on for more than 30 days times 10. That's how long it has been going on. Even now, as we're sitting here, we still haven't received the approval. And we've gone into the new financial year again, having carried over the 8 million that reflects now in our books as accumulated surplus. So we're still awaiting that. Hopefully we won't have unauthorized expenditure, or else we're going to pull Auditor General to come and assist us to get an approval from National Treasury.
Thank you, Chairman. Let me take on from there and respond to the other questions that I hadn't touched on. There was a question from the Honourable Member around the issue of buy-in from stakeholders. The issue of buy-in from stakeholders, if you look at our business plan, rather our annual report, you will see that there are stakeholders who are participating and some who contribute funds. But I must admit that the level of contribution is not as the same as, for instance, in 2010, where we were able to get 20 million from private funders. It's also that we believe and we understand when we go and visit all these stakeholders is a function of the economic environment. They are all saying, you know, they're cutting down. And normally when organizations cut down, they cut down on marketing. So they are saying they are not putting forward a lot of sponsorship funds, etc. And that is being felt in the manner in which our fundraising is being affected. So we don't believe that it's so much a matter of them not having buy-in, but they do raise the fact that there are financial constraints, there's uncertainty in the economic environment, and they are scaling down on their marketing. But the reality is also that we will not be able to raise funds at the level that we did for 2010. 2010 was an exceptional year. There was the World Cup. And we have adjusted our expectations accordingly to say we will not raise as much. But even with those adjustments of 6.4, it's still quite difficult for many corporates. We still have corporates that are funding us or putting money to us, whether it's Old Mutual at 1 million rand a year, and others that Discovery putting in 200,000 there, which are very small amounts that are showing. Others, obviously, contributions in kind, and those are reflected under our value-add column. So we believe that it's not so much a matter of buy-in, but we do believe that we need to broaden our outreach to our stakeholders so that we don't have a narrow pool of stakeholders that we are trying to bring in, whether it's in business, civil society, or government. I think you'll cover the matter of salaries. I know the Honourable Members have raised the issue of internal controls, and I think we've tried to sketch the environment leading up to where we are. And if you look at the realities, whether it's capacity issues, whether it's having the requisite supply chain unit within the organization, where we believe it's a small organization, so we shouldn't be burdening it with another huge administrative infrastructure, it's become very clear that compliance is a cost and we have to carry that cost as an organization. The matter of salaries, despite the fact that, yes, indeed, the partnership income is not as high, but the salaries seem to have grown, it's about filling in positions that were approved by the board in the 2010-11 financial year. And there was a clear view that we would phase the appointments in those particular positions, whether it's the appointment of a program manager for Africa and the Middle East, for Asia, in China. Those were going to be staggered because we needed to understand the environment. But also in appointing people in those markets, we were clear that we are not going to incur expenditure in terms of offices. So we need to co-locate with other public entities that operate in those markets, whether it's South African Tourism, the DTI, or even DERCOM. So there's a long process of negotiation with them to get the office space as well. So hence we have staggered the process of appointment. The salaries, the board has a clear directive that our staff cost ratio in terms of staff cost as a percentage of our total budget should not be over 25%. So despite what you see as escalation, it remains within that. I think at the end of that financial year, it was at about 19%. And there's a very clear board directive that it should not go above the 25% threshold. The matter of board and board attendance, I hope that our audit committee member will have spoken to that. First, let me just stress to the Honourable Song that the board members do deem the committee, you know, as important and that they needed to be here, hence the delegation of somebody from the audit committee in this instance. Mr. Isaiah Hoop sits on the audit committee, and we had thought that that would be the appropriate person to then accompany us. Let me speak to the issue of attendance. Attendance does present itself as a challenge in some of the committees. And in terms of the committee charters, any board member who is absent from three consecutive meetings without a valid explanation will then have to resign from that committee. Therefore, the chairman of the board would then communicate to that person that you have not attended three board meetings. Now, if you look at some of the members affected here, they have actually reached their three board meetings. But what has also happened is that the tenure of 18 board members comes to an end now. And therefore, by reflection or natural passage of time, those members then are no longer part of the board. But there is a process of dealing with the non-attendance, where the chairman would then communicate with the board member consent, and if this persists, then they are terminated.
Can I just ask, as a matter of interest, it's quite a large board of trustees. Do you not have problems with quorums? What is your quorum? Is it 50%?
It is, yes, 50 plus one.
Sure. Now, all I'm just wondering is it not one of the problems? Because if you don't have, if you cannot have regular board meetings that co-rate and have a schedule, and actually then it could also become a crippling effect.
Through chair, indeed it is a challenge, and I believe the board has also come to that recognition, because it is a matter that I think in their report, exit report, they are also presenting to say the board is too large and unwieldy, and in large part it does contribute towards, you know, people not having a quorum, because somebody says, I'm not going to go, they believe the others will go, and everybody's thinking the same way, and you come and you don't have a quorum. But it also does present a challenge with the round-robin approvals, because you have to get the approvals of 25, 27 people, different parts of the country. And if it is a matter that requires urgent response, then it means you are not going to be able to respond very quickly. So there is a recognition that for a marketing organization, the board is too big and too unwieldy for us to act very quickly. So I believe that the board will be addressing that matter with the minister. The matter of accessibility is a matter, as I said, that it came across as a challenge. It's something that management, especially the Human Resources Department, has been directed to address, because we do recall that when we came here, Chair, we still did not have a person in that role. Our offices, the first floor is accessible. We do have a challenge with accessibility onto the second floor, but because we occupy the first and second floor, we did not see that as a major impediment unless the person has to be on the second floor. So While the second floor is not, the first floor is, it is something that definitely needs to be taken into account when we look at the issue of office space. There was the issue of the media reputation and its relatedness to the issue of investment. What was referred to as the 40% who do not know or have no awareness of South Africa from a business perspective, to us presents what we see as a marketing gap. And the truth is that it is really largely a matter of awareness. We have marketed South Africa very strongly in the past as a tourism destination, from a culture perspective, from a sports perspective. And it now becomes imperative that we place emphasis on marketing it as a business destination. If you look at the indices, people know us quite a lot more for our culture, sports, and heritage, and our tourism mainly. Now, we do recognize there's a need to increase awareness of the opportunities from a business point of view. So the 40% gap is really a marketing gap, and it is the result of awareness, especially amongst multinational, international companies that are not exposed to South Africa. So if you compare other multinationals that have operations in on the continent and some of them even in the region, they tend to have a better understanding of what South Africa has to offer, whereas others tend to see South Africa more as just a country that is rich in resources. Other aspects of our business offering are not as well known, and that's why it's important that we push that particular message. In relation to the matter of the board and the board effectiveness, we have just completed an assessment of the board, of the effectiveness of the board and its committees, which is something that the charter has required that we do every year. And that, therefore, then informs either the composition of the board going forward, or it informs the chairperson how to deal then with particular weaknesses which reflect themselves in how the committees or the board itself operate. I think the honourable member highlighted a point there which we believe we will certainly communicate to the board, which is around the issue of the audit chairman. Our audit chairman is also a board member, and it is usually desirable that that be an independent person. And I think it is something that indeed we will highlight. There was the question around from the honourable member around the relationship with other spheres of government. As I said, Brand South Africa is an organisation that works with and through stakeholders, and therefore we try to build very strong networks with other spheres of government. Currently we have relationships with your SALGA, for an example, where when we do awareness and outreach programs, we'll do them with them in the provinces. But indeed, we have to expand our reach, as we realize, whether it's working with embassies. We do have a memorandum of agreement with the DERCO, and we do work with them in the embassies. In fact, even our representatives in the international markets do work with the ambassador, so that, as you rightly say, we don't have to be in all these spaces, but through our representatives, we are able to embark on marketing initiatives with them. The matter of the remuneration structure, I think, has been addressed. That is the total cost to company. Then, page 72. The honourable member raised on page 72 the matter of action in respect of some of those instances of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Honourable member, was it? Yes. Need to cover that.
Your page 72, oh, yes, there are details of irregular expenditure. Then
their amount, they were saying no disciplinary action was taken.
Yes, the World Cup one I have referred to. The legal fees and the suppliers, the tax certificates which were not originals or were copies or not, the process not followed there, that's the 1.5. And then the other is what the CFO explained, where we followed the procurement, our procurement policy in terms of sourcing codes. But what then did happen is that go through the preferential point system, which is largely a matter of making sure that our policies are also aligned to Treasury regulations. So it wasn't so much a matter that the policies were not followed. It was anyways in the policy. But as she said, we do say no disciplinary action was taken in the sense that there were warnings issued, as she said, the CFO indicated she was one of those that action was taken. So to the extent that disciplinary action is around corrective action, the board felt that due action had been taken, and that should that recur again, then it would be escalated to the next level.
And just to add on the disciplinary action taken, the ACO gave us the Audit and Risk Committee gave us 90 days to clear the findings. If they are not cleared in 90 days, then it gets escalated. So 90 days is due. It's well overdue. Yes, on the 30th of October.
Thanks. Any other hand? Okay. Thank you.
On a point of clarity with the consultant fees, I'm not sure if I understood or heard that correctly. Are you saying that somebody that's employed that then acted in an acting position, or was it somebody from outside that was in an acting position? That's the one just on a point of clarity. But then just one other thing, Chair, still on page 72, your fruitless and wasteful expenditure, you've got two instances there, other instances where you've cancelled projects or something. One of them was a senior official from Tanzania, and then the project was cancelled. Did you cancel the project after the official arrived in South Africa? Did you cancel it before, during his flight? Did he have to still come to South Africa? That's the point I'm getting at. The other one is the one of your presentation for a tender pitch. Now, unless this bidder was specifically invited by you, by Brand SA, if I'm a bidder for a tender, then I have to take the risk and carry the costs to attend the presentation or to purchase the put on a deposit for the documents, etc. In this instance, this particular person has already booked his traveling to South Africa and thus incurred cancellation costs for the flight now. Can you give us some insight into this, please?
Thank you. On the matter of the consultant, as you said, there was a vacuum. The person occupying the position was dismissed, and there was a process going through the CCMA, and therefore we had a vacuum in the organization. We then enlisted the services on contract basis of someone from the outside to carry on with what this person would have done if they had been inside the organization. So it wasn't a matter of our own person being paid those fees, no. It was an external contractor or consultant, as the CFO was saying. So the fees, you see, they were not paid to the same director. It was for the replacement or the temporary replacement.
CEO, I think the problem is that was originally, remember, they said the person seemed to have been drawing two salaries, paid and this consultant. So probably, if you can clarify that when you are busy with the CCMA processes, that person was still drawing a salary. Because you see, the member was just asking, which was because it was seemed to be appearing that the person is drawing two income. The one is a normal one, but also, that's why they were saying, are you consulting with your own employees? We remember the original, are you consulting with your own employees? Because it would seem there was a salary going out, but it's also consultancy or fees which are paid at the same time.
that was not the case. The consultant was being paid from the salary of the person who has been dismissed and we're going through the CCMA. And that's why we would have to cost it against a particular budget vote. And because we are getting that consultant as a result of the director, we had to charge it to that, and that's why it reflects as if the person, we were no longer paying the person, we dismissed the person. Thank you.
Okay, then.
Chairperson, just as far as, I think it's clear now what the position is and why no disciplinary action was instituted, but can we just say that somehow we are of the firm opinion that the penny must drop, that people can't get away with matters. So a letter of warning is the first time, yes. But secondly, then the PFMA provides for penalties, such as fines or whatever. The time must kick in, that people must understand if they are making poor arrangements or they are not ensuring that stakeholder consultations will be effective and you would derive economic benefit from it as an institution. That is a waste of public funds, and we can really no longer, I mean, we all know that we have so many demands on the public purse. So clearly people must start to understand that we have all share a responsibility to curtail costs and wastage. So I think that must just, next time when we have such sort of repeat offenders, please take the necessary action. And secondly, make sure that people, very often, when disciplinary is instituted against individuals, they like to resign during that process and then leave, and you would never hear of them except if they apply for another position, and whatever they have done wrong somewhere else does not follow them like an albatross. And that is the danger that we have. So when they have left and they've resigned, charge them. You know, make sure that somehow we start to recover, in terms of the PFMA, all monies that people have spent and wasted on an irregular basis. Thank you, Chairperson.
I'm sure the issues that you are raising, we're just raising them because at the end of the day, as the committee must take a decision, because other actions that we expect to be taken by different entities, our laws also doesn't allow that. And people that work anywhere, they've got rights also. And we should be, when we say these things, we bear in mind that our SA laws also does address these things, which then brings us to this situation that we have. But also in terms of this one, on this entity that you're dealing with now, for me, I think we should welcome them. Even the CFO, she's CFO, ne? Yes. For her, even to raise that, I'm one of those ones, and I've received a letter, but also we should have an appreciation that, which is a worry anyway, the issue that we're still using manual, and we've got a laptop and an iPad and all those funny things, there is something wrong with that. We have to speed up the issue of everything using computers and all that. It doesn't make sense for me because we wouldn't have all these other things. But also what she raised, and I'm sure she still needs to have a refresher course in terms of compliance with good gap and all those other things and financial controls and management and all that, because there is a slight gap on that one. Appreciation not implementing doesn't make any difference. But also even the issues in terms of the person perception, a perception earning salary, is a vote issue that also it has been explained. But I'm just saying that we should from this side also have a sense of appreciation that they are raising things. One would love people to be arrested and doing this, but they are doing something. Hence people have been fired. But we have to look back as government also. Do we blacklist them? To what we do after they've resigned from those organizations, because it is also draining the country in the way it's being done. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks.
The questions that are asked about the project being cancelled,
yes,
whilst the person was either en route or he already has it been answered?
Yes, those are the two questions I need to respond to, Honourable Member. With respect to the agency presentations, we had scheduled them and we had placed in our requirement that the people who are going to be involved in the account should be the people who appear, because agencies sometimes they bring all these skilled people and then once they have the contract, those people are no longer there. It's junior people who are going to service the account. So in our requirements, we indicated that we require those people to be present. And unfortunately, there had to be a cancellation of that pitch process, and therefore we became liable for the payment. The other one, you asked the question whether the person had traveled or not. That person had traveled. That is an incident that happened in 2010-11 financial year. And so what was incurred were it was a cancellation fee for the ticket that they had bought, because the cancellation happened at the last time. So I believe that there's a, you know, the percentage that of the amount that had to be cancelled was very high. That is what was reflected here, because the cancellation took place at the very last moment.
Thank you. Any other matter, CEO? Members, any question which not responded to from your side? In closing, CEO.
Chairman, I'd like to again on behalf of the board thank the chairman and the honorable members, and once again really reiterate the fact that the board, as you know, does believe in presenting themselves here, and the chairman would have liked to be here with our audit committee member. And so it is not a reflection on the board at all. But also to really assure the committee that the board takes these matters very seriously. The audit committee in particular has indicated that these matters need to be corrected, and that sensitize management to the fact that they can't focus on correcting one aspect of the government systems and controls and then lose sight of the others, because that is really what has happened here. And that there is a corrective plan that has been put in place to address these audit findings. They were dealt with in part at an audit committee meeting the other day. I believe that we are 60% through resolving the issues that have led to where we are. And as you said, the board has now approved that we set up a supply chain management and that we appoint people into those positions, and therefore we believe that these matters will be addressed. And with the payoff line having been addressed, we believe that essentially there's really no reason not to be able to achieve our deliverables in this year. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, CEO and the CFO, for your presentation and the responses to the questions. We hope that finally the board composition will be revised to make your work easier, so that we are able to do the work. I'm sure it's the largest board in terms of the number of the board members and so on. Thanks very much, members. Tuesday, we will be dealing with ICASA DOC. We're not sure about .z domain, what will finally happen, but we've shifted DOC to Tuesday next week. DOC. DOC, we said they must come back. I can see that the hard work members have forgotten their decision. So they'll be coming back Tuesday, and then the regulator ICASA and so on. The .za something, there's been some discussion. Anyway, they are getting a 1.5 million budget and so on. So we might end up dealing with the two, DOC and ICASA. Tuesday next week. It will be at M46. I'm told that the venue will be M46 for next week and so on. But members, we are just trying also to look at the practicality
whether we can be able to finalize Tuesday and adopt the report. Probably, if you look into the reality, we might have to adopt the report the following Tuesday. So we have our meeting Tuesday, and then that will be the only meetings for the entire week. And then the next Tuesday, try to adopt the BRRR report for GCIS and the DOC. Because practically, it might not be possible to adopt it to a Thursday as we have originally anticipated. We have to develop the report. Members have to have time to have the report, to look into the report, so that when we meet, at least you minimize a lot of work by the time you come to that to deal with that. So those are the possibilities. Unless the parliament, they are saying, can rain, come shine, we must adopt it before Friday. But if it's not like that, we'll propose that to go to the following Tuesday to adopt that report and do other business for that particular day. Final member?
Chairperson, just on a point of clarity, will we meet in the morning and then break for lunch and then go to the joint sitting and then come back?
Next week. The problem is that they just approved the program, they didn't say anything. So if it has come, it means it has come after the approval. It's a matter which probably need to look into that. But the approval is just a blanket approval to me.
Okay, now I just thought I would mention that as far as I'm aware, I could be wrong, but as far as I know, there's a 2 to 3 o'clock joint sitting on Tuesday to congratulate the Paralympic athletes.
And of course, we can't ignore the Paralympics if there is that congratulation. Probably we'll have to attend and continue after.
Yes, Chairperson. I think it is just limited to 60 minutes. That includes us as well as the NCOP. So it's an hour-long sitting.
Yeah, so probably members, it will mean we'll have to respect that and then we can continue after. It will be too sensitive that even if we have the approval to ignore such an important gathering. So it means we'll adjourn from 1 until we'll continue at 3 so that we also cover that activity. Thank you very much.